And welcome to the final episode of season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I mean, this is minute 132, and it's also my 400th episode. So I'm also very happy about that, that it just worked out that way, that the 400th episode is the final episode of this season. So it's a very nice milestone, which once we talk about season 5, we'll know what movie is going to be the 500, because season 4 is less than 100 minutes. So we'll have to wait and see. You know, some people already know what it is. We'll have to see what movie is going to be on season 5 and what week someone will get to, you know, be on episode 500. So I'm Rob, and joining me today is Jake Clewitt, my pseudo co-producer, my movie friend, my I don't know, the person who convinced me to do all this crazy stuff 400 something episodes ago, because I've already recorded some of season 4, but whatever. So Jake Clewitt of Life Versus Film, of the large association of movie blogs, now just the Lamperty, the host of the Lamperty shows that come out monthly. He's also a co-host on the Deep Blue Sea Pod and a co-host on the Con Air Pod. Welcome back to the show, Jay, to do this whole wrap-up episode.
Thank you for having me, Rob. I'm happy to be back, happy to continue the tradition of being your first and your last guest for each season. I'm very much enjoying that. Although you always introduce me as the person who convinced you to do these mini projects. I think more like you said, I'm going to do this. And I was like, yeah, okay, you should do that.
No, I mentioned it. No, it was more that I said at some point, oh, I should do something. You know, I think you came to me at one point and said, I think you should do this. And I started thinking about it. I don't have time. I don't really know. And then, you know, then it got me thinking. That was the whole thing. I think that's what it comes down to. So I still give you credit for it. You don't want the credit? All right. No credit. I take away the credit from Jay.
I think it was your idea before it was mine.
It doesn't really make a difference. It might have been my idea, but it was based on the fact that you were already doing one. How's that? And you're the one who told me all about the Movies by Minute community and stuff like that. So,
I've plugged Star Wars Minute many times on the Lamcast.
That's right. You do get some credit. Even if you don't want to take all the credit, I think you deserve more credit than you actually think, but it doesn't really matter. The bottom line is we're here after, you know, 399 episodes. I'm already on my 400th episode. I only did 47 of them with my co-host during that first inaugural season, but I was trying to think of like a, you know, it's like a birth pangs type of thing. You know, my birth pangs season. season one, I think, was great, but I think I've done a better job at, with the second and third, and so far with the fourth, which most people haven't heard, but you'll hear it soon. Starting tomorrow, people will hear it. So, you know, you'll get to see, what we're talking about. You know, at the end of today's episode, Jay and I might talk about what tomorrow's season will bring us. Who knows?
Yeah, so today is, of course, Sunday, the 1st of January, 2023.
That's right. So happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody. Yeah. You know, you get to hear all the fireworks, going off, and it's not Guy Fawkes Day or Bonfire Day or whatever you want to call it, you know.
No, and it definitely still won't be tomorrow on tomorrow's episode.
That's correct. Yes. Of course not. No, I don't think so. So minute 132 begins with a triple credit for the song Let It Snow and ends with the movie title of Die Hard and the fade out. So, I mean, we're cheating a little bit because today is really not a 60-second minute. It is a 67-second minute because there's an extra 7 seconds in the movie. And, I didn't think I was just going to do an episode just of 7 seconds. It's a little too much. Even though I'm sure I could find a guest and talk about, 7 seconds for a very long time.
See, that would have been me, wouldn't it? So you would have had somebody else on for the previous, and I would just be there
That's right.
For the title card of Die Hard. And that's nothing right. else.
Die Hard fade out, and let's just talk about everything, you know, the whole way. So yeah. So on yesterday's episode, yesterday's special episode on Saturday, because today is Sunday, you know, we ended by talking about four of the five songs that are credited in this movie, and today we get the fifth one, where it's Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. Now, last week, or the beginning of this past week, Richard and I discussed that song a lot, so I'm not really going to go into it that much. I mean, just to remind people, it is a song by Sammy Kahn and Jewel Stein, and it was performed by Vaughn Monroe. So that's pretty much the...
It's also partially performed by Reginald L. Johnson, if I recall.
Not at the end of the movie.
No, but in the film.
Yes.
He's singing it.
When he had... But, you know, it's really funny because they don't credit him here. It's sometimes, you know, like I always love how in Back to the Future and stuff like that, you know, you have Marty McFly credited with singing, you know, the Johnny B. Good.
Johnny B. Good, yeah.
Right. And then, you know, it has Marvin Berry, you know, they're singing Earth Angel. You know, they get the credits for it. It's not a question of, you know, something else. So, you know, they could have given original Bill Jansen a credit here. But the thing is, in this movie, the fact that there's only five music credits and there are other songs. You know, and we talked about yesterday how two of these songs don't even appear in the movie. You know, the first two songs, just for anybody who happened to miss that discussion on yesterday's episode, you should go back and listen to it. It was a great discussion. But the songs that are mentioned here, both Singing in the Rain and Winter Wonderland, don't even appear in the movie at all. They were used in order for Michael Kamen to do the mix for the music. So they needed
I did see those credits. I did think, where is Singing in the Rain? I'll wait and listen to that episode and find out.
Yes, we found other things that are in the credits that aren't in the movie. So, you know, it's very strange. You know, actually, maybe you can answer this. Both Jason, my guest yesterday, and myself couldn't figure this out. Do you know of any place in this movie where there are knives featured?
Knives? When Holly phones up her home, is Paulina cooking in the background?
You know what? We didn't even think about that one. It's. I don't think so. I don't think she has knives. But there is a credit for someone giving knives to the, you know, for the knife use in the movie and stuff like that. Yeah, but we couldn't figure out why they would have a credit for that.
No. Twinkies are eaten with fingers.
That's right. Not and the closest I was able to think was the fact that Holly opens the mail with with a letter opener, scissors, something like that. Maybe that's some sort of, maybe it's a knife. I don't know. Maybe that was the closest I can think of. I mean, in Die Hard 2, which, you know, we will get to, hopefully,
which season 5. Which I watched last night.
Which, okay, Jay watched it once again. That's great. You know, you're getting prepared for season 5. Ready. There you go. That's right. There are knives in that movie. That's for sure. But in this movie, I couldn't think of any place where there was a knife.
Well, there's definitely an icicle in Die Hard 2.
That too.
Oh, glorious icicle. No, I can't think of any knives in Die Hard. Even in like food capacity, like the buffet table.
That's right. The closest we came was it said, okay, maybe it's on the dinner table somewhere, you know. But that was it. But it's a credit from a guy who gives knives to all these different action movies. You know, like we read through the list of them. There's like Action Jackson and Predator, and I don't remember all the list right now. Maybe Commando. No, it wasn't Crocodile Dundee. You know, I said action movies, not comedies. You know, so. But something for everyone to think about. Anyone who, you know, if you missed yesterday's episode, or if you've listened to it and didn't have an answer, if now you can hear us talking about this again and say, wow, I know where there's a knife in the movie, please let us know. You know, get in touch with by Twitter, by Facebook, or by email, however you want. Let us know. Because
please let us know, let us know, let us know.
There you go. Let us know, let us know. That's great. That's great, Jay. All right, so after the credits for Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, we get a whole bunch of special thanks. There are 15 special thanks that this movie gives. And most of them are these different various corporations and products, and it's probably all like product placement. I checked out a few of them. The only one that really jumped out at me was the Norm Marshall and Associates, which sounds more like a law firm than
It
anything else.
does.
And I looked it up, and it's not a law firm. It is a Hollywood-based product placement agency.
Which one of two? Because they also have unique product
That
placement
is correct.
directly
So,
below them.
it's like, okay, we're gonna get the Coke can from this place, and we're gonna get
The candy bars that he
the candy
has.
bars. That's right, the candy bars from other places there too.
I'm terrible with product placement. I can never remember it. It never works on me. I couldn't tell what the candy bars are that he
Right. You don't know which candy bars he eats, you're
I
saying?
can't remember.
He eats a Nestle Crunch and a Mars bar. Those are the two. I mean, when I get to the IMDb trivia today, I highlighted a whole bunch of things there that I wanted to talk about. So one of them was the fact that Al Leong actually, he was the one who suggested to McTiernan that his character should actually start munching on candy bars. And according to this trivia bit, I don't know if it's true or not, but D'Souza decided that he would let his character live longer because he had this great idea, and let him be the one of the final terrorists to be killed. So I
Which
don't know.
is the exact opposite of what happened to John Leguizamo in Die Hard 2,
Correct.
where he was too short. And so it was cut out of the
Well,
film
because
almost.
they
Fickle
just
producers, fickle producers.
that's true. It's true. And then afterwards, there's a really interesting line in the credits, which says the producers wish to gratefully acknowledge all the supportive neighbors and businesses of Century City. A special thanks to the following individuals and companies for their help. Now, I mean, this is all based on the fact that they were doing some of this filming in the middle of the night. There were explosions and gunshots in the middle of the night. The helicopter scenes were all done, when I think it was a 30-minute window, but they were buzzing, all the buildings around there and stuff like that. So it's an interesting credit to be adding into the middle of the movie. And then after that, it's even funnier because, they list like one name of somebody, and then you have Dick Beaving and George Meehan from the City of Los Angeles Motion Picture Coordination Office. Then you have Ellie Tawil, the West Los Angeles area LAPD. And then did you notice what the next credits are?
Jim Gabala and the residents of Century Hill Condominiums.
Yes, you have two
I'm guessing
condom.
these are people who complained about the
Yes,
noise.
exactly. You have two condominiums that are condominium associations, I guess, who are credited. And then you have after that two hotels, the Century Plaza Hotel and Tower and the Century Plaza Towers, which sounds like the same thing.
One of them thanks the staff, one of them thanks the management.
Yeah.
So that could be. The Century Plaza Towers might manage the Century Plaza Hotel
It could be.
and Tower. So
It could be.
I imagine they are part of the same group.
Yeah. But I love how there's like one name for each of them, and Jim Gabella and the residents. He must be like the head of
Well, he was the one who
the
contacted them
associate,
saying, "Can you keep the noise down, please?"
He's the head of the condo on the condo board, and then you have Maria Morris, who's the head of the condo board of the other one, so it's just very interesting. And then they have credit for JMB Property Management and the Marriott Corporation, which obviously, shows
Hotels.
that people are staying in the hotels, right? And then after that, we get filmed in Panavision, Color by Deluxe, Dolby Stereo in selected theaters, additional optical effects in main and end titles designed by R. Greenberg Associates in New York City. And then we get the typical MPAA approval number, which is 29,160. I guess that means that there were 29,000 movies that were approved by the by the MPA before this movie. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
You know,
I mean, you've probably seen most of them.
29,000. No, sorry. You could say maybe I've seen a quarter of them. You know, that's still a large amount. That I agree with that, but still. And then we had the copyright 1988, 20th Century Fox, all rights reserved. And then we have the typical disclaimer that I'm not going to read through it about the fact that you know, none of these people are real. If we accidentally if it seems like someone is real, that we're basing it on something, just forget about it. You know, we didn't do this on purpose. It's it was you can't sue us. It was just completely coincidence. And then we get produced and released by 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, followed by Die Hard, you know,
Hard.
which is what you would have gotten in your 7 second episode. You know,
I'm
just the
not a bit happy
title,
with
Die Hard.
and then just a black screen.
And then fades to black. So, you know, we've pretty much finished up the movie. Not much to talk about on the black screen, I guess you can say. So, you know, one of the things I said that I wanted to deal with was, first of all, I'm gonna ask you a little trivia question. What do you think that do you know the death toll in this movie? How many people have been killed?
Okay, so there were 13 terrorists, one of whom survived, so that's 12. Then you have Takagi and Ellis, so that's 14. Is that it?
Nope.
No, who am I forgetting? Oh, there's the guard at in the entry, like the kind of the guy in the lobby, not the terrorist. Yep, the two guards in the lobby, so that's 16. And Shark eats a bird at one point, I think. No, it's yeah, 16 people.
No, there's still other people that die in this movie.
Oh, who dies? Who else dies? Still more hostages,
Think of
no?
Will. I'll give you a hint. Will.
Yeah, I know. Oh, of course, the 80, Johnson and Johnson. I forgot the Johnsons. So yeah, 18. Or is there is are they
But
not fly? Oh, no, yeah, they're not flying the helicopter, are they? Or are they flying
that's
the
right.
helicopter? So yeah,
And
so
the,
19.
I mean, I no, I what I've actually seen is that there are apparently four other people in the helicopter with them.
Okay, so
So
22.
six, 20, 21, I think, is the actual count that I saw.
Okay.
Maybe it's only five, one second. So no, well, first of all, it is 21 because you got one of your guesses wrong. You said
Okay.
about how many terrorists were there that got
I
killed?
said there were 13 terrorists
And then you
and one
said
survived.
one survived, but two survived.
I know that. Okay. I know that, well, Theo definitely survives because
Yes.
he's like punched out by Argyle, and then there's one that you don't see die, but
Crystal.
I'm counting them as dying.
Crystal doesn't die. Sorry. Okay,
Okay,
let me
fine.
rephrase the question. Okay. How many on-screen deaths are in
Okay,
the
21. I was actually thinking about this watching Die Hard 2 last night because Die Hard 2, much higher death toll than
Yeah,
Die Hard.
I think I read it this number, and we'll talk about it in season five, but I think I read that the death toll in is like 168
Oh, it's more than that because there's
or maybe
that
it's
Coal Meanie's plane.
268.
Yeah, Coal Meanie's plane has 200 and something people on it,
Yes. And well,
and that does not make it.
thankfully for
They all
us,
die.
they tell us how many people are on the plane.
It's like 243 or something. It's a line of dialogue.
Interesting. Okay, I mean, according to IMDb, there's only 164 that die in Die Hard 2,
That's wrong.
but we'll get there. That's what IMDb says.
Unless there's a bunch of survivors from that crash.
It could be. No, they said that there were no survivors except for like half a teddy bear. But again, we'll get
Yeah,
there.
McLean finds a doll in the snow.
Yeah,
Yeah.
something like that. Yeah. All
Yeah,
right,
much,
so
much big. I think Die Hard 2 might have the highest death toll of the Die Hard films. I can't remember five. I don't want to.
I don't either. I
But
don't
three
know. I
and
don't
four
know.
definitely have lower one.
Three and four.
Think.
Well, we'll have to get there.
We'll
You
see.
know,
We'll see.
we got
Yeah.
season seven and seasons nine and maybe season
Maybe
11.
season.
Probably not. Probably not.
Maybe you'll do that film no one wants to talk about ever again.
Yes, exactly. Like I suggested to you, I think we'll just do it as a bonus episode. You know, a few of us doing a commentary, just laughing about the movie the whole way through. I think that's probably the best way to do it. But that won't be till after, you know, Die Hard 4 anyway. So,
A long time away.
yes. Yes. Oh, not that long. It'll be like
It's a
2 years, 3 years.
long time away.
Yeah. So I went through the IMDb trivia just to see if there are any things that I missed along the way.
It's set at the Fox Tower.
Okay, that I didn't miss. That I didn't miss. So I'm not going to read through all of them. I'm just read through the ones I think I missed. So this was one I actually don't remember if I mentioned that that Bruce Willis had 17 different undershirts that he used throughout the course of the movie that had different stages of degradation. Degradation. Okay.
I know that you know the film Skyscraper
Of course I do.
with Dwayne
Which one?
Johnson,
There's two of them.
the Dwayne Johnson one.
Okay. You know the
That's
other one
the
is Pamela Anderson, I think, did
okay. I
one.
haven't seen that one.
Or maybe there's barbed wire. I know someone it's actually on the list of Die Hard on a Monday. Someone used that as an example. You know, they won a
Okay.
skyscraper on that.
Well, I know that film.
It was probably
I know that film
Mark, if I remember
exists.
correctly.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But Dwayne Johnson had, I think, nine different undershirts for different stages of soiling for Skyscraper. Skyscraper, a bad film. And these are all on display in an art installation somewhere, that just in a row. And I feel like there should be 17 mannequins wearing Bruce Willis's vests from Die Hard rather than nine wearing Dwayne Johnson's for Skyscraper.
Right. Okay. Well, it actually wasn't Mark. It was Sean German who he used Skyscraper.
Okay.
So, what can I tell you? So, one of the things also, another thing that I found in the trivia that, I try not to read the trivia when I'm doing the episodes because I want all the information that I'm giving off to be authentic and not something that I'm just reading off of IMDb. But I figured at the end, I might as well, do a little catch up here. So, what we discussed back when Al was sent, on his I guess mission at the beginning, when dispatch sent him, they told him to check out a code 2, and we couldn't figure out what a code 2 was. So according to IMDb, a code 2, it means it's an urgent incident where you're not supposed to use sirens.
Okay.
So
And he didn't. So good.
that is correct. Jan de Bont got the idea of using an elevator in Speed when he got trapped in an elevator while making this movie.
I didn't realize it was while making it. I knew that he got trapped in an elevator. I didn't realize it was whilst making Die
Yes.
Hard. Fair enough.
Yes. Apparently, Clint Eastwood was also he wanted the role of Joe Leland, the original idea behind,
Yeah.
and he bought the rights to the book, even though Sinatra had first rights or first refusal.
I am glad Clint Eastwood did not star in this film. I haven't seen him do much comedic
No, but originally
stuff.
the movie was not meant to be comedic.
Well, then originally it was meant to be a bad film.
Pretty much. That's one of the reasons why it worked so well. I mean, it's like Beverly Hills Cop. I always think about the fact that Sylvester Stallone was supposed to be in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
So,
Come out to the coast, have a few laughs. It just doesn't work.
Beverly Hills Cop. Oh, you're talking about the.
Yeah, I
Sorry,
think
you were
Clint Eastwood
doing
is the guy.
Eastwood. Sorry.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah.
I can't do a good Eastwood.
That's all right. Neither can I. So, Premiere Magazine in 2007 voted this movie on the list of 100 greatest movie lines. Okay, where do you think it was? What number?
I'm guessing the line is Yippee-ki-yay.
Oh, sorry, that's a good point. Yippee-ki-yay. There you go. Sorry.
It's got to be top 10. Like n number 5?
Unfortunately, it's 96. I don't know
What the
why.
hell? What the hell?
Exactly. Don't
What
know.
the absolute hell? No, I disagree. What's the one ab above it? Have you got the list there or
No, I
no?
don't have the list.
Okay,
Don't have the
fine.
list. Sorry.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Okay, fair enough.
Probably. What can I tell you? All right, what else do we got here? Do you know that Roger Ebert was one of the few critics that gave this movie a negative review? And he largely did that because he hated the character of Dwayne Robinson. He said that the
Okay,
character he
Ebert.
says the character was completely unnecessary, useless, dumb, and he prevented the movie from working. But later on, he actually said he liked the sequels and later changed his opinion on this movie.
Well, I mean, fine. Ebert had some bizarre takes on some
Yes,
wonderful or terrible films.
that's
So
true.
everyone's started being wrong now and then.
That is correct.
But hating a wonderful character that you're supposed to hate
Exactly.
is the hottest of all takes, I would say.
Yes. According to IMDb, and this is something we joked about when Ellis was in Holly's office with Hans. Apparently, they say that the reason they gave him a Coca-Cola was he most likely asked for some Coke, expecting for them to give him cocaine, and they actually gave him some soda because apparently they didn't
Yeah,
have
it's
any
the
cocaine
80s.
available.
Yeah.
Yes. So we briefly mentioned about this. The helicopter shots at the end of the film took 6 months of preparation. Okay. And they were only allowed to use airspace for 2 hours. And they had nine cameras that were filming at the same time. And they took three runs of the helicopters. And one of the stipulations was that everyone who was within 500 feet of the helicopter had to be an employee of the movie. So,
Okay, fair
yeah,
enough.
exactly. Now, the news network, we talked about that it was KFLW, right? Which isn't a real news thing, but that's named after Frank Lloyd Wright,
Okay, yeah.
who is a famous architect, and Joel Silver really, really admired him. And one of they have the, when they were talking about their new plant in Indonesia, so the model that they use there is a famous model from Frank Lloyd White, Lloyd Wright. Okay. IMDb mentions, we talked about this also, that I'm trying to remember who my guest was. I think it was Matthew at the time, Matthew Simpson, when we were talking about the fact when John hears the shots after they shoot Takagi, and he goes, "Our girl, I hope you heard that." Okay, and we were talking about the fact that we had both heard at some point that there was a deleted scene where our girl was running around the building also. So IMDb mentioned something about it. They talk about that apparently there was a deleted scene, but they ended up scrapping the whole thing, that because they decided that it just wouldn't make sense for him to be there. So, but
Yeah.
I couldn't find it in the script anywhere, and I couldn't find any real information as to, what his character was supposed to be doing throughout that point. I don't know. It's a little
I
strange.
just imagine him just running through hallways, finding no one, doing nothing, just going back to the limo as being unsatisfying to watch.
That's true. All right, just a few more trivia points here. Not that many more that I haven't done. So apparently, when Bruce Willis was trying to break the window with the chair, in the first take or the first two takes, he kept breaking the chair instead of the window. And
Yeah,
apparently, there
those
are
windows are
gag
pretty
reel.
strong.
Yes, there apparently there's a gag reel of him doing that, and just everyone cracking up on screen. And then the final thing I wanted to mention was the idea of the dollar bill. Where Carl hands a dollar bill to Theo
Oh, yeah.
after Takagi is shot, and apparently that was Alexander
Yes.
Gudinov who improvised this and said that there's no reason why these characters wouldn't have been betting on something like that, and that's why afterwards, we had Clarence Gilliard say, "I told you," when they're going through
Yeah.
that. So yeah, those are pretty much the various trivia things that I found. Is there anything else you want to mention about the movie?
No, I think, I mean, I've been on the show already. I love the film. Die Hard's great.
No, but maybe there's something about the movie that you wanted to talk about that wasn't in
No,
the first 5 minutes.
it's a wonderful film. No,
Is
I love
that a
Die Hard.
Jimmy Stewart reference?
It's I mean, it could be if you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a nice mashup of switching Jimmy Stewart and Bruce Willis, role for role.
Yeah.
Having Jimmy, that'd be fun. No, Die Hard's great. It's a wonderful film. Everyone should watch it every day. it's, you know, I when I promoted my first week on this show on Twitter, I was like, it's one of the best films ever made. And I got some pushback on that from some strangers, because Twitter is, if it still exists when this show comes out, is a horrible place. and I stand by it being one of the best films ever made. I love it to bits, and I hope to watch it every Christmas.
Okay. That makes sense. All right, so now everyone who's been waiting months to hear, so you know, we have Die Hard on the Monday. Now I'll actually give, you know, my top five movies, you know, of Die Hard doppelganger films.
And I've made a guess as to what, not what yours are, what the overall consensus is.
Okay, we'll get there.
Having listened to the number of shows that have been out so far.
We will get there. We will get there. So first, but you don't know how mine will affect, you know, those numbers.
This is very true. I don't. I will adjust my list accordingly.
There you go. Okay. So my number five is Under Siege. You know, my favorite Steven Seagal movie. And probably the only Steven Seagal movie that I like.
One of two I've seen.
Okay. Is the other one Under Siege 2? Or Executive Decision?
The other one. The other one is Machete.
Machete. Oh, I didn't even know he was in Machete.
He's there, the bad guy in it, I think. It's been a long time.
Okay. I've never seen Machete. So I should add that to my list. Are there like a whole bunch of... Isn't that a series?
There's Machete and Machete Kills. There's two. Uh-huh. And one of the fake trailers in Grindhouse.
Right. Okay. Number four, Air Force One. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford does a great job being as the president. You know, he's still, you know, the fictional president, the first fictional president I would vote for.
Yeah, he's maybe the best President Ford. Who knows?
Could be. But I don't think he's going to go for a run in 2024. He probably not.
He's quite old.
Well, and the other people running are not.
This is true. This is true.
Exactly. But he's a little saner than everyone else, so what can you do? Maybe. Maybe not. Okay. Indiana Jones is president. Come on. Why not? All right. Number three is Olympus Has Fallen. This is a movie that every time I watch it, I like it more and more. The first time I saw it, I didn't like it that much. And I've seen it probably five or six times over the last almost decade since
why?
It came out.
Because this it's such is what a I fun. Why did you go back a second time?
I don't remember why I watched it the second time, but I enjoyed it more the next time, and that was it. And the bottom line is it's a great Die Hard type of movie. You know
that the entire Mike Banning saga. I don't understand the appeal because
I don't talk about. I didn't talk about London Has Fallen or Angel Has Fallen. Those two I don't like as much. But Olympus Has Fallen, I really like because I think I like it because it's a Die Hard. It's Die Hard in the White House. You know, London Has Fallen, you know, Die Hard in London, just sorry, no offense to you, Jay, for being English.
I don't live in London, it's fine.
But it was boring, you know. I didn't like it. And, you know, Angel Has Fallen was even worse. So
it's just to me, White House Down is better than Olympus Has Fallen. I liked it.
No, I didn't.
And
like
I still didn't like it that much.
I didn't like White House Down as much. I like Channing Tatum, but I thought having Jimmy Fox, you know, play the president, who's shooting and stuff like that. It's just I don't know.
Well, they're both ridiculous films. I feel like White House Down kind of lent more into the fun of it. But that's me.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right, number two is Rennie Harland. Cliffhanger.
Okay.
You
haven't got Con Air on your list. You've put Speed at number one.
Sorry. Sorry, Jay. Con Air would have been six or seven on my list.
It pains me that
it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing I was already on your show. There you go. If I wouldn't have been on your show, you wouldn't have.
I'm going to edit you out of that episode.
Exactly. Sorry, Jay. What can I tell you? It's because I'm not the biggest Nick Cage fan, and in that movie, his accent is to me horrendous. It's just not fun. to sit and watch him, you know, with that drawl and the way that he talks and stuff like that. So I don't know. It just wasn't for me.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you. And as you guessed, number one is speed. So
fair enough.
Okay. Yeah. The first question that
Shout
I had
out
to ask
to
you
speed
before.
Movie Minute.
There you go.
It exists go. Now and it's fun.
Yeah. Hopefully Roger is still, you know, still going at it at this point.
He and Brantley Michaels are having a good time over there.
Yeah. Okay, so my first question for you is how many different movies do you think are on the list of movies that were mentioned over the course of the last 131 episodes or whatever? I mean, obviously...
A question I did not anticipate.
Jay, least, that's what I'm here five. For.
So I would say... I have listened to all the episodes so far that are out because we're not recording this today, listeners, behind the curtain. It's not today. It's a day in the past.
It's still 2022.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's at least one episode I haven't listened to. So some of your guests picked films that came out before Die Hard.
Yeah, there are a few of them.
Frankly ridiculous decision to have made. But fine. For this kind of list. Everyone interprets these lists differently, and this should all be appreciated. I'm going to go with 40? Seems insane, but I'm going to go with 40.
It's too low.
Too low?
Yes.
41.
We'll be here for another 26 guesses if you do that.
67.
67. There are 67 different movies that were listed. That's right. So I mean, there were 30 guests, okay, including myself.
Yep.
30 different people who have given their, you know, their opinion on this, and of
how
those,
many got one?
So 30 times five. One second. 30 times five. Okay, it means that there were 150 guesses.
Yeah.
And of those 150 guesses, there were 67 different movies that were listed among them.
That's too many. So how many of those films had just one person saying them?
Too many. Too many. Actually, no. One we had.
And was I one of 12, those people that said
12.
Just one? Okay.
No, you were not. Yours are
I'm
not.
I'm a man of
there.
People.
There are 12 movies that only had one. And then there are 9 movies that have 2.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go through all of them.
No, that's fine. So should I try?
You know, it basically goes up to 9, and then it jumps up.
Should I try after, and guess after my top five? Should I try and guess the consensus top five?
Sure.
Okay. So
start with number 5, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to rattle off my whole list before you tell me if it's right or not. So 5, I think, is Olympus Has Fallen, because too many people said it. Every time somebody said it, I was like, what are you talking about? There's so many better films out there, including just a minute ago when you said it. So I think that's Olympus Has Fallen. 4, I think a lot of people said Executive Decision, a film I haven't seen yet, but I'm going to see soon, hopefully. Then 3, Cliffhanger. 2, Con Air. 1, Speed, is what I think.
Okay, only 2 of those are in the top 5.
Well, then, it better be Con Air and Speed.
Okay, so first of all, Executive Decision had a total of 6 points.
Okay.
Okay, there were, I think, 4 people who mentioned it. That was it.
That's very wrong. Okay.
Okay. You said you've never seen it.
I know, but I was saying very wrong for me to have guessed it would be that.
Oh, okay. That's what you meant. That's what you're saying is very wrong.
How dare these people have this opinion? I cannot confirm.
Yes. So Cliffhanger had 15 points. All right. It was only mentioned by 6 people, including myself and by you.
Yep. Okay.
The highest ranking it got was number 4 twice. Oh, sorry, number 2, getting 4 points twice. Right. Once by me and once by another one of the guests. What else? Olympus Has Fallen also has 6. No, Olympus Has Fallen has 1 point more. It's 16.
Okay.
It's 16 points, and therefore it had 5 people that mentioned it, including
I really liked
3 points.
Who said Home Alone? That was a fantastic pick.
I've had more than one.
Okay.
Well, Home Alone actually has. There are 3 people that put it in the top spot.
Okay. Well, they are all wonderful people.
Yes, and 1 person put it in the bottom spot. So that one also had 16. All right. Okay. So now Well, we have less. We've left six movies, okay, that are above 16. We have one that got 21 points, one that got 24, two that got 31, one that got 35, and one that got 46.
So, what do you think?
If the number...
Exact Precision and Olympus Has Fallen aren't in the top spots, then I'm going to sub out Air Force One and Under Siege as being in there instead.
Those are both in there. Yes, okay. They're both in the top five. And what do you think the fifth movie in the top five is? All right, I'll tell you what the 24-point one was. The 21-point was The Raid. Okay, The Raid just missed by 3 points getting into the top five.
Excellent film.
Okay, maybe
The Rock. Would The Rock count?
There were six people who gave points to The Raid. Three of them putting in the top spot.
Okay.
Also, so that got 21. And you are correct. The Rock is the other one. Okay, now you have to try and guess. So which movie got 24 points? We have 24.
This is in the fifth place.
Yes, fifth place. What do you think?
Air Force One.
Nope.
Under Siege.
Yes, okay. Under Siege gets 24 points.
Then Air Force One.
Now we have a tie for 31 points.
Air Force One on The Rock.
The Rock. And not Air Force One.
People need to rank Con Air higher in their rankings. This is a travesty.
Yes, Con Air. There are only two people that ranked it number one, and the You're second person, one of them. And the second person was not Mark.
Okay, see, we're gonna have a
you haven't heard Mark. I know you haven't heard Mark's movies yet. Mark picked five esoteric movies that no one has
Shocking.
Ever heard of.
Shocking.
Yeah. No, but you'd think that he would have tried to give Con Air points, but he didn't.
Did anybody else pick a film that Mark had picked?
No.
Yeah, okay. No, thanks, Mark.
Not
How
at
many
all.
Ernest films did he pick? How many like, Ernest goes to
None.
Die
There's
Hard?
No, there's no Ernest
Okay.
There's no Ernest one.
Ernest goes to Nakatomi.
Yeah, nope.
So then number two would be Air Force One, and number one would be Speed.
That's correct. So Air Force One gets 35 points. With three people putting in their top spot. And number one spot is Speed, with five people putting it in the top spot, including myself, with two other people putting it in the second spot, and then three people putting in the third spot, and then Jay and one other person putting it in their fourth spot.
Yeah, I don't see Air Force One was not on my top. Wasn't on my top five. I think.
Sure was.
It was.
Sure was.
Where was it?
Yes, your top five was Air Force One, Speed, Cliffhanger, The Rock, and Con Air.
Okay.
So Jay, I mean,
it was so long ago. I don't. Remember.
Yes. So you and I agreed on three out of five. You know.
But just not the main one.
Yes.
Not the one that matters.
Okay. Well, let's put it this way. Even if I would have given 5 points to Con Air, it wouldn't have won. You know, it would have been in second place. You know, but it wouldn't have won. So it's all my fault. That's what you
yep.
can say.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. So let's move along to Hans Hunt Day. So once again, Jay, how many diverse movies do you think are on this list?
I think Alan Rickman's been in fewer than 67 films, so it has to be a smaller number.
Yes.
What's going to trip this up here is the different Harry Potters, like people that pick different Harry Potters.
That's correct.
But I'm going to say over the course of Alan Rickman, maybe 20 films were picked.
You were very close. 18.
Okay.
There are 18 films that were picked. Five of them being Harry Potter movies.
Okay, wow. that is surprising how many different Harry Potter films, because I feel like there is a correct answer for which one he gives the best performance in.
I believe so too.
So we need your list, don't we?
Okay, yes we do. So Jay, you want to try and guess what my top five are going to be? How's that?
Oh God. No, I have no idea what your top five would be. I have a guess of what the consensus would be, but I don't know what your top five would be. Okay. I know you like to start at the bottom, but going down, you'll like Die Hard's gonna be at the top, then probably Galaxy Quest. Then I don't know if you're a Potter fan. I don't think we ever discussed Potter really. I honestly don't know where you would go beyond Die Hard and Galaxy Quest. Robin Hood. I don't. I feel like you're someone who hates Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, because it's not a good film, and you tend to
Again,
like
this
good
is
films.
best performances. It's not
Even still.
best films.
Okay. You may have let slip that your number five is Sense and Sensibility, so I'll place that in there. Then I'll go with.
Nobody's
I'll
supposed to
go.
know that. Nobody's supposed to know
Yeah.
that.
I'll go with Love Actually, number four. Number three, is that. A few people mentioned it. There's that wine film that I can't remember the name of it.
Bottle
That he.
Shock. Bottle Shock is what
Yes,
you're
Bottle
thinking of.
Shock. Then Galaxy Quest, then Die Hard. Is my guess for your top five.
Okay, well, once again, you only got three of them.
And one of them I was not a
One of them you
guess.
cheated on.
I didn't cheat, you told
You
me.
didn't cheat. You didn't cheat. I accidentally told you.
I
Okay,
used the
fine.
information provided to me.
Yes. Very true. Very true. All right. So my number five is Sense and Sensibility.
Oh my God.
What a surprise. Shocking for you, Jay. Number four is his Harry Potter role, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part Two.
Yes, that is the correct Alan Rickman
Yeah,
role.
well, you didn't choose it.
I thought that was gonna be thrown in my face. I couldn't remember what I picked, and I
You
should have
picked
picked that
Goblet of
one.
Fire.
Yes, because I tend to pick my favorite films rather than best performances, and that's my favorite Harry
There you go.
Potter
Okay. Goblet of Fire is also one of my favorite films, the Harry Potter films, even though I like the books much better.
A guy turns into a shark. What's not to love?
All right. My number three is his role in Robin Hood.
Okay, fair
So
enough.
you are wrong about that
I
one.
am wrong, yes.
Number
But,
four
I love it,
is
but it's not a good film.
it's a fun film, but it's not amazing. That's what it comes down to. And the truth is his role there is over the top, but it's still fun.
With
That's what I
a
that's right.
spoon! You'll have more! Yeah. Yeah.
You 10 o'clock. You 10:30. No.
Cancel Christmas!
That's right. And obviously my number one movie is Die Hard.
What was your number two?
Oh, Galaxy Quest. I thought I
Yeah,
said that already.
you did.
Okay, number two is Galaxy Quest, and number one is Die Hard. There you go.
Okay, as expected.
Okay, so now let's see if you can guess. So, of the 18 movies that are on the list, I will first give the, to tell. I'll at least let you know that there are two movies that only got one vote, and two movies that got two votes or got two. Sorry, there are two movies that got 1 point and two movies that got 2 points.
Okay. Am I
And
guessing? No.
I must say, each of them only had one person voting for each other.
Makes sense.
They're
Makes
movies that
sense.
only had one vote each,
Okay.
basically.
So my guess for the consensus number five is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part Two. Just because I think there's going to be some people splitting the Potter vote various places, including myself, it turns out. Then number four. So you had one guest who did five different Love Actually scenes for their Rickman. And I don't know if you gave Love Actually 15 points for
No, 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 no. Love
that
Actually, when Dana did that, Love Actually only got 5 points, and that was it.
Okay, so I think Love Actually
She
is number.
is the only person who she gave nine. She got nine total points because she didn't. She only did number one and two, and then another guest, Brett, only did three.
Okay. So I think Love Actually is
So
fourth.
they got
Then
12 points.
I think the consensus top three matches your top three of Robin Hood, Galaxy Quest, Die Hard.
Okay, so you got 4 to 5.
Okay.
You got 4 to 5. All right, now you're gonna have to try and guess how much. Okay, so the first one has number five has 28 points, number four has 34 points, number three has 58 points, number two has 84 points, and number one has 127 points.
So I'm gonna guess my one and two are correct with Die Hard and Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's
So,
unbelievable how many people, gave Die Hard
yes, on
five
this
points.
podcast aimed at Die Hard fans, it is a shock that so many ranked Die Hard at number one.
The lowest it got ranked was three. There were two people who ranked it at... No, sorry. Someone ranked it at two. There was one person who ranked it... Sorry, I keep getting confused. Someone ranked it at four, so you got 2 points, and then two people ranked it at three, where they got three points.
Did anybody
and
not include it?
There were two people who didn't include it in their list.
Mark.
Nope. Mark actually did include it.
Yeah,
he gave it a four. It was number two, so he got four points. One of the two people was the my one guest who's never seen the movie, so he couldn't really use that.
Of course, yes, that makes sense. Okay, so those are correct. Maybe Love Actually is third?
No.
Okay, just tell me. I'm tired of guessing.
Okay, Love Actually is five with 28 points.
Okay. See, I had it five originally, and I switched it out for Harry Potter. God damn it.
There you go. Yeah, no Harry Potter. The highest ranking Harry Potter was the Sorcerer's Stone or the Philosopher's Stone, however you want to call it, with 16 points. There were three people who ranked it at number two.
That is a ludicrous result to fill that one at the top spot.
And fine. And Deathly Hallows got 14 points. Okay, so and Goblet of Fire, thanks to you, got 2 points.
Did you work out if you added all of the Harry Potters together, what would the score have been?
That is a very good question, and I will do that momentarily.
Okay.
So number five is Love Actually. Number four is Dogma.
Oh yeah, Dogma's good.
With 34 points, but only one person listed it in their as their top slot.
Again, this is a Die Hard podcast, so that's not surprising.
Okay. Robin Hood with 58 points, Galaxy Quest with 84 points, and Die Hard. With 127 points. But just because it's a Die Hard podcast doesn't mean, I mean, last season, PlayStation and Automobiles, you know, it didn't win everything.
No. But it appeared on most people's lists, I assume. It's like, yeah. If you had a friend who's like, oh, I hate Die Hard, you're probably not going to invite them on the show.
No, they probably would have said, oh, I don't want to be on the show. Yeah. That was the first part. There are people that I invited for Die Hard. There are people that I invited for next season that just said, oh, I don't like the movie or I'm not a fan of that genre. So, no, I'm not going to come.
I mean, what one of your previous guests, DJ Valentine, has been on both Deep Blue Sea the podcast and Con Air the podcast, only to reveal on air he hated both films. So, we had a fun discussion. We tried to win a round. We failed. But most of our guests tend to at least like the films we cover.
Okay, that's true. Okay, so if you put together all the Harry Potter movies, there are five Harry Potters on the list that were chosen. They get 43 points, which means it would be in the fourth slot. It would be... you know, the fourth favorite. It would knock Love Actually out of the ranking and then knock Dogma down to number five.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. So now we get to Weekend Surprise. Okay. Where it's just to remind everybody that one of the biggest controversies about Die Hard is over the last 34 years, now 35 years, I guess you could say, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? And, yes. You know, we've gotten a lot of different opinions over the 30 guests that I've had here. Most of them, let's start with this. How many of the 30 guests said that it is not a Christmas movie?
It's not. There's been at least one. It's not many. It's got to be fewer than five. I'm going to say three.
You went a little too high on that one.
I'm going to say two.
There are two. There are only two people of the 30 people that said that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Still feels too high.
What can I tell you? Personally, now I get to weigh in on this whole thing. It is definitely a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Obviously I have less hang-ups about it than most people because I don't celebrate Christmas. So for me, it doesn't really make, you know, it's not a big deal for me to watch it on, you know, December 25th. You know, I don't feel that it's that it could be blasphemy or anything like that from that perspective. But going through the movie and, you know, hearing everyone else's arguments and being, you know, seeing everything that goes on here, and the fact that John McClane's wife is named Holly, you know, and that the this entire robbery couldn't take place if it wasn't for Christmas. You know, it's a Christmas movie. There's just no question about that.
I've yet to hear a good argument as to why it's not a Christmas film,
Okay,
because
well.
I feel like some the people who say that have maybe some kind of a hallowed status of, oh, it's a Christmas film, like awarding it some kind of designation that this is a Christmas film, this means something. Whereas like if a film takes place at Christmas, it's a Christmas film. Like whatever, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Christmas film, Iron Man 3, Christmas film, other Shane Black films, Christmas film, like. That if it takes place around Christmas, it's a Christmas film. You can
Yes.
watch it whenever. You can watch it at Christmas. It's not like a prestigious like award for it. It's like it's the people that argue Jaws isn't a horror film. Yes, it is. It's got horror elements. It's a horror film. You don't have to watch it at Halloween. You can. You watch it whenever you want. But like.
Exactly. Okay, so there are actually two of the trivia bits from IMDb I skipped in order to talk about them now. Okay,
Because one
one
of
of them
them, Die
is
Hard, is a Christmas film.
more or less. More or less. So one of them talks about the fact that for the 30th anniversary of the movie in 2018, so 20th Century Fox actually admitted that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and it stated that it's the greatest Christmas story ever told. And they had a trailer that had that.
Charles Dickens, get in the curb, you're done. Get out of
That's
here.
right. It's like in Scrooge, you know, the whole thing. Now, apparently, Bruce Willis and John McTiernan disagree on this issue.
What do they know?
Okay, which of them do you think thinks it's a Christmas film, and which one doesn't?
Oh, I think you may have mentioned this. I think Bruce Willis doesn't think it's a Christmas film.
Okay, I never mentioned it, but you were right.
Okay.
My first guess would be that since I know that you know when I've seen McTiernan in interviews, he seems more like a Scrooge. So I would have thought that he would have said that it was the opposite. You know,
Okay,
I
as
rewatched
Scrooge, at which point in the story?
a
At this,
Scrooge at the beginning.
okay.
That Scrooge at the beginning. I mean, I watched yesterday the you know Movies That Made Us, the documentary, the TV show about Die Hard. And every time McTiernan was on screen, I was like, oh my God.
He's like, "Oh,
You know,
humbug."
yeah. Someone must be you know, recording him while he's doing that. You know, they've bugged the phone,
Yes,
bugged the
maybe.
office.
Did he know he was on TV?
That's right. So McTiernan thinks that it is a Christmas movie, and Bruce Willis states that he explicitly states that he doesn't consider it a Christmas movie. He sees it as a summer action flick with some resonance due to where it takes place. But I think Bruce Willis just doesn't think it's a Christmas movie because, you know, cha-ching, that's where he gets his money. You know, doesn't make
Yeah,
a difference.
yeah.
You know, he can give his opinion on that either way.
Absolutely. And him thinking that doesn't stop me from watching it at Christmas Eve.
Nope. But does your wife think that it's also a Christmas movie? Does she watch it with you on Christmas Eve?
I don't watch it every Christmas Eve. I try and watch Muppet Christmas Carol every Christmas Eve, which she definitely does not watch with me because she
You
hates
do know
Muppets.
you can watch more than one movie on Christmas Eve.
You
There
say
is
that,
enough
but I
time.
normally can't because I'm normally working Christmas Eve and then the evening is quite busy preparing for Christmas Day. So I normally can't. But she has watched Die Hard with me in the past. Not as begrudgingly as she will watch other films with me. I will say that is the most I can say. It's not something
Okay.
that she would choose to put on.
Okay. So in other words,
If there were a
she
Finding
doesn't want to be
Nemo
a
at
guest.
Christmas, then that would be good.
She's not interested in being a guest here, I guess.
No, she will never be on a podcast, mine or anyone else's.
Wasn't she on your farewell thing at some point?
She was on the Lambcast 400th episode, where all of the segments were 400 seconds long. Because the day after we got married, I kind of tricked her into being on it. The day after we got married, I recorded a live trivia session with some of our friends who were staying with us, who were also part of the LAM, where we did Harry Potter trivia. And I told her it was being recorded. I said it was going to be on the podcast, and she was fine with it. But that was, she'll never be on like a sitting in front of a screen talking about a film kind of thing. She was like, oh, it's a Harry Potter trivia because I love Harry Potter. And she came second, and that's Rebecca Sharp. Anyway. Started off the marriage well.
Okay.
5 years apparently. Later, still going strong.
Keep it going. Keep it going. All right. So basically, I've talked about everything that I could be talking about here.
So, do you like Die Hard, Rob? Are you a fan?
It's okay. it was okay. No, as I've mentioned numerous times, you know, if you know, Die Hard was my first choice for the first movie to do movies by minute. But because I knew that there already was one, so I decided not to do it. You know, because I didn't know at the time that there is the possibility of, you know, doing your own show that has already been done. I hope that everyone who's listening to this, who has also listened to the group version of it, you know, enjoy, you know, my take on the movie and all of my guests. Let's hope. I mean, you know, Bubba was was trying to pit us against each other, and he had enough halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, I would never forgive him for voting for the other podcast being better in my week. But there we go.
Yeah.
I was tired during that recording. It was a long recording session, and I apologize to any listeners who turned off for that one.
I agree. I think he was wrong. But I think that all of our episodes are better than the other ones. But that's just because, you know, they're my opinions. You know. So what can I tell you? So, all right, now let's get to the stats. All right. And so obviously I can't put this episode in yet because we don't know how long it will be. Right now we have crossed the 1 hour mark. So, you know, I will add an hour to the whole thing, but you know, it's not going to change things as much. So I'll give you a little bit of the stats from The Great Escape and Planes, Trains, Automobiles, and then I'll see if you can try and guess about Die Hard. All right. So The Great Escape, I recorded 4,015 minutes of discussion, which comes out to 67 hours, just slightly under 67 hours of discussion. All right, and the average episode was 24 minutes. All right, so Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, we had 3,145 minutes of discussion, taking into account that, first of all, The Great Escape was 172 episodes, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was 93. All right, and so that 3,145 minutes comes out to about 52 and almost 53 hours of discussion. Okay, and the average episode there jumped from 24 minutes in Great Escape to 34 minutes in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Okay, so Jay, where do you think this movie fits? How many minutes do you think we talked?
Okay, well, I'm going to try and work backwards from this. I think your average episode length has gone up again. Because I'm pretty sure most of the episodes I've listened to have been over 34 minutes in length. So you've got 132 episodes. My guess is the average length is going to be maybe 40 minutes. So that'll be, what, 528 minutes? No, hang on. 5,280 minutes?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
Higher?
Lower. Much lower.
Okay. Well, then okay. Reveal. So
It is, again, I'm including now an extra 60 minutes because of our discussion, which actually that might even change some of the other stats. Die Hard is 4,760 minutes of recorded discussion time,
Okay.
which comes out to 79 hours and a half, and therefore the average is 36,
Okay,
36 minutes per
I
episode.
wasn't way off then,
You
saying
weren't way
40
off.
minutes an
No,
episode.
you weren't
Just
way off.
rounding up.
Yeah, rounding up was fine. Rounding up by a lot, but for me, the fact that from The Great Escape to Planes, Trains, Automobiles, we jumped 10 minutes. That was the big shock for me. But I think in the first season I had episodes that were like 13 minutes. So,
Yes,
that
yeah, I
sort
think
of
so.
the lowest I think was like in Die Hard, I think it was 22 minutes, if I remember correctly. Oh, that was the shortest episode that I did. 21. Here I have a 21
Okay.
minute episode. So yeah, but we also had numerous episodes that went close to an hour, if not over an hour. And anyone listening to yesterday's episode, which was 89 minutes.
Well, hey.
So,
Well,
and that was after editing.
let's try and not hit that today. Some
No,
of us are hungry.
that you listened to yesterday. So yeah, but I think 89 minute episode is going to be the largest episode. I don't think we're gonna reach that today,
Think
because
that is the length of our longest episode on Deep Blue Sea, covering an entire film. Rather than
it's
1 minute of credits.
Yes, but Jason and I had a great conversation. So that's what's important.
That's the main thing, yeah.
That is what's important. So once again, I want to thank all of my guests from this season, who have added so much fun and enjoyment to discussing Die Hard. So we'll start off with Tyler Howard, Alan Sanders, Alex Robinson, Eddie O'Hare, DJ Valentine, Matthew Simpson, Duncan Shields, Travis Bowe, Kurt Kenny, Sean German. Thank you again, Sean, for letting me record in your house. Nick Rehack, also, thank you for letting me record in your house. Andrea Loff. Michael, my good friend Michael, who no one will ever hear his episodes, but I want to thank him for letting me record in his house, even though the recordings didn't work and due to technical reasons, they will never see the light of day. But in his place, I had Brett Stillo. So thank you, Brett, for stepping up at the
For
last
bumping
minute.
up that episode length average.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. No, Brett's episodes weren't that. Actually, the first episode was an hour. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Great episodes, long episodes.
Yes. Yes. Next. Thank you, Eric Deutsch, Brian Lockhart, J-Bam, who unfortunately was only able to be on two episodes before he had to go take care of a family medical issue right in the middle of recording. So Alan stepped in for the other three episodes. Alan Sanders, thank you again. Aaron Neuwirth, Jim O'Kane, David Brooke, Dana Nachman, who is just a really busy director and only has time to do two episodes. So thank you for that. And Patty Flint for stepping up and taking over the other three episodes. Patty, for anyone who doesn't remember, Patty is actually the a relative of Roger from The Great Escape. So it's nice to still have him, even though we're not talking about The Great Escape, it's nice to have him still as a fan of the show and still listening to other movies. And he started his own podcast now. So
Nice.
it's you'd like it. It's all about dogs. Todd Liebenow, Mark Hoffmeyer, Heather Baxendale, Jeanette Ward, Richard Kirkham, Jason Sturchik, aka Agent Palmer. I want to also thank Travis Bowe for all his great artwork that he's done for this season. So I appreciate it. And I also want to give a shout out to Gary Maselli, who did a few intros for us where we had different animated characters introducing the show. So thanks to both you guys also. And Jake Lewitt.
Hey, that's me.
That's you. That's you. And you know what? For anyone who likes listening to me and Jay talk, you can come back tomorrow
And the day after. And the day after.
And for the rest of this week, the weekdays of this week, to be talking about season four. Should we tell people what season four is going to be?
Well, I think...
Or should we let people just show up tomorrow and find out?
Well, I think you can drop the hint that for season four, you're probably going to have more female guests than you had for season three, I think.
I hope so. But, you know, there were numerous female guests that dropped out.
Yes,
That told me that they wanted to be on it and then dropped
out. I'm not criticizing your guest list. We had the same problem with on Con Air and on Deep Sea, where it's easier to find guys to talk about these films. And yeah, we had some female guests drop out. But I think
right now I have six females lined up to be on season four. It's only 19 weeks.
Right.
So, you know, that's good. And one of them is going to be with her husband. So,
okay.
But still, you know, it's nice to at least have that. There were two others that were supposed to be on. And, you know, even though one of them said that it is her favorite movie of all time, but she couldn't commit the time to be on the show, which I understand. Hopefully she'll at least listen and scream at her phone saying, "What? No, that's not right."
I know her. She will not scream at her phone. That's not.
She will politely
listen to something else.
Maybe. So basically, what I decided is I'm gonna, you know, change up the genre again. Season one was a war movie. Season two was a buddy comedy. Season three, as you've all just listened to right now, was an action thriller Christmas film that started its own genre. So what? Where could we go for season four? Anyone knows me knows that I'm not a horror fan, so I'm not going there, and I probably will never go there. Probably not. So where could we go? We're going into the rom-coms, and one of the things that I found really interesting, and this wasn't done on purpose, is that season two is a movie from 1987. Season three is a movie from 1988. Season four, the movie that I chose, turns out to be from 1989. And season five, which as of now the plan is to do Die Hard 2, is 1990. So, you know, I've gotten myself in a little bit of a niche here of, you know, late 80s movies. But what can you do? We'll have to wait and see what happens, where that will go with season six, you know, because as of now, I can't think of anything from 1991 that I currently want to do. You know, I'm not going for Silence of the Lambs or JFK or
Backdraft.
Backdraft. There you go. Those are no. No, I don't think so.
Hard pass.
I don't think so. Yeah. So basically, you know, it's a rom-com. It's a rom-com from 1989, starring...
It's the
rom-com of 1989.
Not even from... It's the rom-com, full stop.
Yeah. It's the... just for anyone who hopefully will come back tomorrow and listen to Jay and I begin discussing it and stay with us for 19 weeks, we will be talking about the Rob Reiner romantic comedy starring Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, When Harry Met Sally. So, Jay, thank you very much for joining me for this finale episode.
Thank you for having me.
My 400th episode, you know.
So how many minutes is When Harry Met Sally?
96.
Okay, so I will be on episode 500 as well, potentially, if the trend continues. Wonderful.
That is correct. It is 96. You were correct, Jay.
Wow.
And that maybe we'll be talking about Naked Tai Chi on the 500th episode.
Who knows?
But we'll find out in May, you know, when we get there.
I look forward to it.
It's not that far off.
No,
it's just 19 weeks off. There you go.
It's 19 weeks away.
That's correct.
Excellent. Yeah, so, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me again.
Okay. Thank you for joining me. This was a lot of fun. I always enjoy talking to you about movies, especially... Yeah. You know, movies that we both love, which makes it more interesting to talk about. You know, so yeah. I just have to figure out how I'm going to get you to talk about Stand By Me one of these days. You know, I don't know.
I'll come and talk about it. I won't be happy about it, but I'll come and talk about it. And I probably won't watch the whole film. I'll watch the minutes you sent me.
Yeah, that'll be the first 5 minutes. Come on.
I'll watch those.
And the last minute.
Yeah, I'll watch those credits. Or that might be the,
Exactly.
oh, these kids died. It's a new month. Oh, sorry, half of these kids died. Denouement.
No, in the movie, well, actually, in the book, 3 out of 4 of them die.
There we
but
go.
In the movie, only 2 of them die. Only one died.
American Graffiti is what I'm thinking of.
Yes.
Very similar endings.
Yes and no. Yeah. No one dies in Vietnam in Stand By Me.
That we know of.
And no one dies in a racing crash. Wait, has the third one die? I don't remember. Whatever.
In American Graffiti, only 2 of them die. One in a car crash. One gets disappears in Vietnam. One is married with kids, and I can't remember what happened to Dreyfuss's character.
I don't think he was in. Was he in it? He wasn't even in it.
In American Graffiti,
I don't think he was in more American Graffiti.
No, but I'm saying at the end of American Graffiti, there's a little bit of text like this, but this happened to this person, this happened to this person, this happened to this person.
Ah, but they have a sequel.
I haven't seen the sequel.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's
about that. I have. I actually saw it like a month and a half ago, and I can't remember if more than 2 of them died, but whatever. All right. Well, Jay, like I said, thank you. Thank you on that note. Thank you very much for joining me.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And we will be back tomorrow to begin discussing When Harry Met Sally. So thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been a pleasure. Jay, you want to once again tell people how they can find you, where they can find Jay Cluett?
Yes. So Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, and Con Air, the podcast, where my co-host Mark and I have been going through the Deep Blue Sea trilogy and the Con Air only one film. Chapter by chapter, over on Deep Blue Sea, we're now doing Deep Blue Sea adjacent films or scenes or things that are similar to Deep Blue Sea in some way, because we finished those films. And Con Air, we're still going through chapter by chapter. Rob was a guest recently for Con Air, and you can
recently, like 3 months ago,
it's recently enough. And you can listen to me once a month over on the Lambcast, the official podcast of the large association of movie blogs, where I host the Lampardy Movie Trivia Jeopardy inspired tournament. Having a wonderful time over there. My personal site is lifeversusfilm.com. Nothing much happens there, but you can follow me on Twitter at lifevsfilm. My podcasts are at conairpod or at deepbluesepod. I'm on Instagram at jayclutt. Mostly pictures of my dogs and traveling to Scotland. And that's about it. Yeah, that's me.
And probably in the next few days, you'll have a post on Life Versus Film with all your New Year's resolutions.
And there'll be that recent be... posts ranking every 2022 film that I saw in 2022, which was not too many. But they'll hopefully be up there. And yeah, my resolutions will be like, I'm going to go to the cinema more, and I won't.
It was probably more than you saw in 2021.
I wouldn't bet on that.
Really?
I don't know.
No, come on. In 2021, you barely went to the movies.
No, but I count films I saw streaming, like new releases.
Oh, okay.
They're still films. They still count.
Yes. Eventually, yes. But Steven Spielberg won't agree with you. But okay.
Well, he's wrong there. Sometimes too.
Apparently. All right. Well, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. Find me on Twitter. Or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, I don't even know how to end this today. Do I end it from the quote from this one or from the next one?
So the Die Hard one.
All right. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.